Good to look out and see this great crowd this morning. I'm always reminded, especially on Sunday mornings, coming to the church building, we see a number of individuals out in the community that just simply do not appear that they have any knowledge of God or any care to come and worship God. They're off doing their own thing. And you see that a lot, especially as you're traveling to the building. But in contrast to that, I look out and see your faces. I see those who are here because they want to worship God. And that's certainly encouraging this morning to see that. We just sang, I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the kingdom of the Lord. I want to encourage us this morning, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament passage of Judges chapter 4. I want to encourage us this morning to remain active in serving the Lord. As you're turning over to Judges chapter 4, I wanted to say that when I was a child, I remember older men leading prayers, and they would pray to God, and they would ask the Lord to forgive us of sins of commission and sins of omission. I remember hearing that a lot growing up. Sins of omission and sins of commission. Of course, we commit sin. We go out and we commit those things that are wrong. But then there is omission. We fail to do what is right and good. Both of those thoughts need to be on our mind each day. We certainly do not need to go out and commit that which is wrong. And we want our children to not commit what is wrong. We want our families to not commit what is wrong. But this morning we're going to see that it is just as possible for God's people to omit that which is right and good. And so we need to balance our teaching and our instruction and our attitude each day, that we have that balance. We don't want to commit what is wrong, but neither do we want to omit what is right and good. We need to stay busy and not be inactive. We want to learn a lesson this morning from Judges chapter 4 and 5 that God is also concerned about omission. He's also concerned about His people who fail to do what is right. They're just inactive. They're not out committing wrong. They're not out causing problems and living immoral lives. They just simply chose not to help and do what was good. God is just as much concerned about that as He is committing sinful things. This morning, we're going to look at the curse of Meroz. I was asked on the way to services this morning what I was preaching about with the family, and I mentioned the curse of Meroz. And you immediately think, well, I don't remember that one. That's kind of one that I don't remember. You know, it's a name that doesn't just readily come to mind, like Peter or Paul or something like that. Who in the world was Meroz? You recall in the book of Judges that God's people are in what we call a sin cycle. They commit sin, often idolatry, and then they cry out to God, supplication. They pray to God for deliverance because they've been in servitude to some nation. And God is using this nation to punish His people for their idolatry. And so they go from sin to servitude and then supplication. They cry out to God for help, and then He sends them a Savior called a judge. So we call it the sin cycles of Israel. And there are several of those here in the book of Judges. Turn with me to Judges chapter 4 and verse 1. We're going to look at one of these sin cycles that involves the judge named Deborah. In Judges chapter 4 and verse 1, the text reads that the children of Israel again did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. So it's a cycle. It goes over and over again. Okay. So they fall back into sin. When Ehud was dead, and Jehovah sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. So from sin, it goes to servitude. And in this case, it's Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host or army was Sisera, who dwelt in the Rosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto Jehovah. There's your supplication. So sin leads to servitude, which leads to crying out in prayer, supplication. For he had 900 chariots of iron. In 20 years, he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lippidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not Jehovah, the God of Israel, commanded, saying, Go and draw unto Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou go with me, I will go. But if thou will not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine own honor, for Jehovah will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali together to Kedesh. And there went up 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with them. If you continue reading verses 11 through 16, you find that the Israelites prevail over this army. And Sisera, verse 17, runs away. And so God does help Israel, and he delivers these oppressors into their hand. Verse 16, all the host of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. There was not a man left. Verse 17, howbeit Sisera fled away. And if you read verses 17 through 22, you find that he goes into this tent and there's this lady named Jael. And he lays down. He's been in this battle. He's thirsty, and he gets a drink and he lays down, and Jael runs a tent peg through his head. And that's what Deborah meant earlier in verse 9. For Jehovah will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Jael is going to put him to death, and she does. So verse 23. So God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel, and the hand of the children of Israel prevailed more and more against Jabin the king of Canaan until they had destroyed Jabin king of Canaan. And then we come to Judges 5, what we call the Song of Deborah. And it's in this Song of Deborah that we want to take our text and our lesson for this morning. The importance of remaining active. It's not enough just to stay away from things that are wrong. We need lessons on that. We need encouragement on that. And we want our young people to stay away from those sinful things that are out there in the world. And we need to talk about that. But on the flip side, it is just as important to God to remain active in those things that are good. And there's a tendency among God's people just simply to step back and hang back and let somebody else do that. So the encouragement this morning, as we've sung, is to work and pray and be busy every day. Now let's look at the Song of Deborah in Judges chapter 5. If you look at verses 1 through 5, there's an emphasis in this song on what God has done and the part that He has played. Jehovah has gone out and He has helped Israel fight this battle. Then, if you look at verse 6 through 8, you find some of the conditions that were going on at this time. It was difficult to travel on the roads, verse 6. People didn't travel out in the open because of the troubles that were going on at this time. And look at verse 8. Some were engaged in idolatry. They had chosen new gods. Thank you, Bob. But I want to pick up the reading in verse 9. If the beginning of the chapter talks about what God has done, the middle of the chapter is going to talk about what the Israelites have or have not done. And that becomes our lesson this morning. Verse 24, Jael is mentioned again and her part in killing Sisera with the tent peg there. Verse 28, the mother of Sisera, she wonders why her son's not coming back from battle. He's been killed. Where's my son? And then it closes in verse 31 with those who love the Lord. And we're actually going to come back to that at the end of the lesson. But the heart of the lesson is verses 9 through 23. Let's read that together. When this battle was engaged in, there were Israelites who willingly came and did what they were supposed to do. And then there were others who said, well, you know, I just don't want to get involved. You know, I got stuff going on. Don't want to get involved. So today, brethren, there is the work of the Lord. There are things that we need to be doing. And we can willingly offer ourselves and help, or we can hang back and say, well, you know, I'll let somebody else do that. Verse 9. Those among Israel are commended who came to help. My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless you, Jehovah. Tell of it, ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit on rich carpets, and ye that walk by the way, far from the noise of archers, in the places of drawing water. There shall they rehearse the righteous acts of Jehovah, even the righteous acts of His rule in Israel. Then the people of Jehovah went down to the gates. And so God is working, and there are people, verse 9, who are going out and offering themselves willingly. Verse 12, awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. That's why we call this chapter 5 the Song of Deborah. Arise, Barak, and lead away the captives, thou son of Abinoam. Then came down a remnant of the nobles and the people. Jehovah came down for me against the mighty. There were some in Israel, a remnant, a small group who came out to fight. Verse 14, out of Ephraim came down they whose root is as in Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy peoples, out of Maker came down governors, and out of Zebulun, they that handle the marshal staff. And so people showed up. And there are always those among God's people whom you can count on to be active in the Lord's work. Always brother so-and-so, and there's always sister so-and-so. But is that me? There will always be those in the local congregation who will be active in their work. But then it takes a turn. Look at verse 15. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. They came. As was Issachar, so was Barak. We're going to join hands together and we're going to work together. Into the valley they rushed forth at his feet. But then look at this. By the watercourses of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to go to battle.
Why sattest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flocks? At the watercourses of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. I'm just going to sit over here with the sheep, and there's a battle going on, you know, several miles away, but I'm just going to hear the guy playing the pipe and the little shepherd calling the sheep. I don't know if I want to get involved. That's what was going on with Reuben. Look at verse 17. Gilead abode beyond the Jordan. And Dan, why did he remain in ships? Good question. Why is it that God's people won't come help? Well, we've got stuff going on. We're busy this week. We've got stuff going on. Asher sat still at the haven of the sea and abode by his creeks. I'm just going to stay put. Zebulun was a people that jeoparded their lives unto death. There's always going to be those who hang back and wait and, well, great resolves of heart. Should I go? Should I not go? Should I be busy? Should I not be busy? This inner struggle. But then you have men like Zebulun who, there are always those who are willing to forfeit even their own lives for the cause of Christ. Zebulun was a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death, and Naphtali upon the high places of the field. Brethren, the lesson this morning is, which camp are we in? The camp that hangs back and, well, I'll let somebody else do that, or those who rush out to the battle? Verse 19, the kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. From heaven fought the stars. From their courses they fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away. This is in northern Palestine. This particular battle was up in the northern part of Palestine. The ancient river, the river of Kishon. Oh, my soul, march on with strength. Then did the horse hooves stamp by reason of the prancings of their strong ones. And then our lesson this morning, verse 23. Kirshi Miraz, said the angel of Jehovah. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of Jehovah, to the help of Jehovah against the mighty. A person can be cursed just simply for not showing up to help. And that's something to think about, brother. We talk about sins of commission, but what about sins of omission? So many Israelites are applauded for their willing heart and their sacrificial service, but other Israelites are rebuked for their reluctant spirit. I'm just going to hang back, verse 23, and I'd rather just not go. I want us to encourage ourselves this morning with regard to not being inactive, indifferent, apathetic, where it's easy just to let somebody else do that. I'll let brother so-and-so do that. I'll let sister so-and-so do that. When I look at this attitude in verse 23, I think about these people. Who are these people? Where is this place? It's a small village near the valley of Jezreel, near where this battle is going on. It's near the battle with Sisera at the Kishon River. That's where this little village is located. And so they're right in the heart of the battle. They could have easily gone out there and they just said, well, I don't want to show up. These people are cursed by the angel of the Lord for neglecting their brethren. Have we ever thought about being cursed just simply for inactivity? We think of sin and wrongdoing as that which we're out actively committing. But James says that if we know to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. That's just as much something to think about as actively committing something that's wrong. And so inactivity, God is looking at our inactivity. He's looking at our non-involvement. I believe that there are things, such as myself, and the elders have particular obligations. I believe the deacons have particular obligations. And as a minister of God's word, I have particular obligations. But there are things regarding being a Christian that are for all of us. I want us to think about this morning working and praying in the Lord's kingdom. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day. Think of how much good could be done at the Warfield Boulevard congregation if we would labor every day in some aspect involving the Lord's work. These folks, verse 23, are cursed simply for their inactivity. And when I think about these individuals, I think about maybe some of the possibilities as to what maybe they would have said. We're not told why they didn't come to help, but let's consider maybe some possibilities. And if this is not among them, it would certainly be among people today. Something for us to think about. Maybe they said the fight is too hard. Is it? 1 John 5 and verse 3. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. They're not burdensome. God does not lay upon us something that we cannot do. But they may have said, well, if I go over there, the fight's going to be too hard. They may have said, fighting is too negative. I'm not into fighting. I don't like to fight. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. I'm a lover, not a fighter. You hear that? What did Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, a book that we have just recently studied in our classes? Fight the good fight of the faith. It's a good fight. The devil is making inroads into people's lives today because we won't fight. We're talking about a spiritual battle. We're not talking about a physical battle. And with regard to the things that we need to be doing as a Christian, there is a place for fighting the good fight. Paul also says, war the good warfare. I think we lose sight of that sometimes. Maybe they said, we are fearful of the fight. Too scared. Isn't that the very thing that's going to keep some people out of heaven? Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. What's up at the top of the list with all of those immoral people? Fearful. The fearful. Some versions say cowardly. But for the fearful, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire. Maybe they said something like, we just don't care right now. I'm not opposed to fighting. I'm not opposed to my brethren going out there and fighting Jabin. In fact, I think it's a good thing. I just don't want to do that right now. Turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. We need to be diligent in our service to God, not slothful, serving the Lord. I think sometimes when we don't engage in what we need to engage in, we're not opposed to what's going on. In fact, we might be glad that other people are doing that. But it's just not for me right now. And so we hang back and we don't do what we need to do. And so we don't need to be slothful. We need to be diligent in our service to God. That's not a priority with me. Well, it needs to be. That's not something we spend our week doing. Well, it needs to be. We're going to do what we want. It's not on our radar. It's not on our list to go out and fight Jabin today. So we're not going to do that. Jesus said, I always do the things that please my Father. John 8:29. We need to be thinking in the mode of what pleases God today. What does God want me to do today? And not so much, what do I want? Maybe the people of Miraz said it won't do any good. Jabin, the text says in chapter 4, verse 3, the guy's got 900 chariots of iron. There's just no way that this is going to do any good. And yet we're told in Ephesians 10 verse 10 that if we put on the whole armor of God, we can withstand the devil. And we can overcome, the last part of Revelation 2 and 3 at the end of each of those letters, he that overcomes, we can be victorious. It will do good. We can resist the devil and he'll flee from us, James chapter 4. But maybe they said, well, it won't do any good. Who knows? Maybe they said, we're not specifically told to do this. I thought about this in preparation for the lesson. Turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 6. When Deborah says to Barak, go and draw into Mount Tabor and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. Well, that's Naphtali and Zebulun. We're not specifically mentioned here in Miraz, so we don't have to go. Turn to Romans 16 and verse 2 with regard to Phoebe. In the church, Paul said she's a helper of many and of mine. We can still help people. Yes, there are specific obligations that are placed upon certain ones in the local church, and they need to be fulfilling their obligations. But can I just show up and be a helper? Yes, of course I can. I don't have to be specifically mentioned. Maybe their thought was, we're not specifically called by Deborah to go, so we don't have to go. All God wanted them to do was show up and help. And so if Naphtali and Zebulun are specifically mentioned, that's fine. I'm going to show up and help them. Look back at the Song of Deborah in chapter 5, verse 18. Zebulun didn't have that attitude. They didn't have the attitude. Well, it's specifically Naphtali and Zebulun. So, I'll go. We would expect that in verse 18, Zebulun, Naphtali. But when you back up in the text, you find that other people were showing up as well. They didn't have to be specifically mentioned before they were going to show up. In verse 9, others are offering themselves willingly. They wanted to come and help Naphtali and Zebulun. Look at verse 15. Those of Issachar, they didn't say, well, we're not specifically mentioned back in chapter 4 and verse 6, so we don't have to do anything. They're saying, look, let's go help our brethren. And today, like Phoebe, we can be a helper of many. Maybe they said, we have many things to attend to. We've got stuff going on. We've got work and school and hobbies and sports and things, that clubs. And that was Laodicea. They had everything they wanted. They had all kinds of things going on, Revelation 3:17. But it had caused them to become lukewarm. Kind of like Martha in Luke 10, cumbered about by many things rather than just sitting and listening to Jesus. We've got goats to tend to and flocks to tend to, and my house is falling down. It needs a new roof, and I don't have time to go to the battle there with Jabin and so forth and Sisera. Maybe they said something like, God's people do not need our help. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. The elders and deacons, they don't need me. They can do that type of thing. And yet Paul says in Ephesians 4 and verse 16, that which every joint supplies. All of us here at Warfield Boulevard have something that we can bring to the work of the Lord. I don't want to be someone who just simply comes and occupies a pew. I want to be active. I'm learning this morning that God is looking at my inactivity. And I want to work and pray and labor every day. We do need each other. And that which every joint supplies, just like in the human body, each part of the human body working together. Maybe they said something like, we are small and we won't be missed. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 22. There are different responsibilities and roles in the local church, and there are different things that all of us can do. The young Christians and those who are older, and the body works together. Nay, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. We all play an integral part. We don't need to have the attitude of, well, I'm small and won't be missed. But I'm a member of the body and I'm going to be active. Maybe someone said, well, we'll fight later. Could we, Deborah, Barak, could we catch you next week maybe? If the battle's still going on next week or next month, could we come out there and fight? And so like Felix, we put it off and we wait for a more convenient season. Oh, I'll be active one day, but just not right now. We'll fight later. Well, I don't know how long the battle took specifically, but I know that when it was over, Miraz didn't show up and they're cursed for not coming to help the Lord, the text says. Did you notice that in Judges chapter 5 and verse 23? Read that carefully. It says that they didn't come to the help of the Lord. You ever thought about that? Does the Lord need your help? God, who is all-knowing and all-powerful and can see all things and know all things and do all things. What is that coming to help the Lord? This is a battle that the Lord wanted the people to engage in as a part of getting rid of Jabin, as a part of them praying to God. They have to go out and do their part in answer to that prayer. God, help us from Jabin the Canaanite. They have to go out and battle that. And so this is the help of the Lord. It's the Lord's work. It's what He wants done. He personally doesn't need our help as if he can't physically do it. But it's the Lord's work. It's the battle of the Lord. And so the text says, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. We don't need to put that off. We don't need to procrastinate that. Maybe they said something like, we don't believe we can win. Jabin's too big. And yet, John says in John chapter 5 and verse 4, in verse 3, the commandments are not grievous. And then in verse 4, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We can be on the winning side when we fight the devil today. The spiritual battles that we have to fight. Now this would be interesting. What if they didn't fight because Jabin was actually their friend? We're friends with several of those people that we're fighting. I can't go out and fight them. We know that in the days of the judges that the Israelites mixed and mingled with the peoples of Canaan instead of driving them out. And so that they would have been their friends. And James says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Maybe we're not active because being active would actually go against the worldliness that we are in fellowship with. Maybe someone said something like, we don't like the tactics that are being used. Couldn't we just sit down with Jabin and have a nice talk with him and ask him to leave? I don't like this idea of warring and battling. Couldn't we have some other resolution to this conflict? There were those in Galatians 1, 6 through 10 where Paul, he says they're preaching another gospel. And Paul says, let them be accursed. And then in verse 10, he says that if I am trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Sometimes in being active for the Lord, it involves some things that are negative in nature. It's a part of routing the devil out of our lives. So today, as we make some applications, what is the call? The call today is not to a physical battle out on the plains of Megiddo. The call is not to a physical battle with Jabin. It's our service to Christ. And there is a call in the New Testament. Will we, like some of the Israelites, offer ourselves willingly? Will we, like some of the Israelites, verse 18, hazard our lives for the Lord's cause? Or will we be like Miraz, who just don't show up and help? We're not actively out doing wrong, but neither are we actively out doing right. What about the call to obey the gospel? To come this morning to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Will I heed that call? Or will I, like me, Raj, just say, well, just not going to show up on that one? Activity is what the Lord is looking for this morning and this week. We talk about the sins of omission. To him that knoweth to do good, I know I need to repent and be baptized, but I'm just not going to do it. I know I need to go out on that battlefield and fight with my brethren, but me, Roz, I'm just not going to do it. You see, it's common, isn't it? And it's a common ploy of the devil. He gets us to thinking that, well, as long as you're not out actively committing wrong, then you're okay. When in fact, we could be omitting right. So we have to be busy. What about the call to evangelism in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 when the church was scattered everywhere preaching the word to invite our neighbors, to talk with our neighbors about the gospel, to set up a Bible study? Will we be like Miraz? We just won't show up to help. What about the call to doing good and to all men? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. And that's a difficult thing sometimes when you're out and you're with somebody and they're in a situation that that is less than ideal and they need some help and you're busy and you've got other things to do? What about the call to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of the faith? What about the call to the local work, as we mentioned earlier in Ephesians 4 and verse 16? Let's be an active member at Warfield Boulevard, not just a name on a roster or on the list of checking off for attendance, but that which every joint supplies. What about the call to prayer? Do we jump in and eat our meal without praying? Do we jump in and make decisions without praying? Do we jump in and follow man's advice without praying? And you see, in all of these things this morning, we're not opposed to these things. I don't think Miraz maybe necessarily was opposed to the battle, although that's one of the things that we discussed. We're not necessarily opposed to these things. We're glad that other brethren are doing these things, but I'm just not going to show up to the help. Sins of omission. What about the call to teach others, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, to develop ourselves to teach not only in the church building with our children and our young people, but teach others outside the building? Be a teacher. What about the call to assemble? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as is the custom of some. Just about every congregation that I've been associated with, there's always some who they've got so much going on in their life that I'm just not going to come. And so many excuses and so many whys and wherefores. And yet with the same level of help and schedule that they have, you'll see them at Walmart, for example. You have to make up your mind. What's important? What about the call to personal Bible study and growth? Not plateauing and just getting to a level where we don't want to learn and grow anymore, but adding to our faith knowledge. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. What about the call to hospitality? 1 Peter 4, 9, using hospitality one toward another. There are things in the Scripture that challenge us to stay active. There are things in the Scripture that challenge us to stay involved. If we're like Miraz, we just say, well, I'm not going to show up for that. It's the encouragement this morning to stay active. What about the call to defend the truth? Well, preachers are supposed to do that, and that's what the elders are supposed to do. And I'll try my hardest to do that. I think the elders would expect me from this pulpit to defend truth. But what about out at the workplace? What about at school? What about out in the community? All of us are to take up the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. Jude 3 is for all brethren. Contend earnestly for the faith. Take God's word and talk with others about what is true and right. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, to be ready to give an answer, that's not just the preacher and the elders, that's all of us. And be present there to do those things. Brethren and friends, this morning, inactivity is still a sin. Omission is still a sin. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 45, that the man who has the one talent? What is his problem? He's not out committing wrong. He's omitting to do what he needed to do with his one talent. So he just went and buried it and he didn't do anything with it. And Jesus calls him the wicked and slothful servant just because he was inactive. He just didn't do anything. And of course, our scripture reading in James chapter 4 and verse 17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day. The interesting thing about this is, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, we don't have to outright betray the Lord to be cursed. We can just simply remain neutral. We can simply be someone who just stands on the sideline and doesn't actively engage in what we need to engage. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When I make a decision not to be active, that's a decision to be against the Lord. And that's a serious thought. Well, I just want to remain neutral. Jesus said you can't do that. And so the encouragement this morning is to step forward and be active in doing what we need to do. Miraj just wanted to stand on the sidelines. They just wanted to, you know, quietly absent themselves, let everybody else do all of that, and we can slip by unnoticed, and bang, the angel of the Lord says, curse these people. We can't just hide out on the wings and maybe slip by unnoticed, under the radar. It's a lesson to teach us to be active in the Lord's work. We want the blessings of the Lord, but some want that without paying the price. I wonder if Miraj said when the battle was over, "Woo, we won!" Oh, really? Did you show up and help? No. We want to take the credit. We want to be on the winning side. We want to be with the winners, but we're not out there on the battlefield doing what we need to do. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 that those who would find their lives, that means they selfishly hold on to it, they will lose them. And those who lose them for my sake will find them. We have to be willing to give up and sacrifice and work and stay busy. But if we selfishly hold on to our lives, then we're going to lose it. And that's what Miraj did, for whatever reason. So the encouragement this morning is to pay the price. We want the blessings. We want the blessings of being a faithful Christian and going to heaven. Let's pay the price to have that, which is activity each day in serving the Lord. And I believe it comes down to this very last point. Turn back with me to the very last verse of Judges 5, and then we'll close this morning. After talking about what Jael did in verse 24 in killing Sisera with the tent peg, and after talking a little bit about what might have been going on in the mind of Sisera's mother when he didn't show up after the battle, verse 28, what do we have in the very last verse? So let all thine enemies perish, O Jehovah, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his mind, in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. Those who love him. That really is a statement about the Israelites who went out into that battle. They were active in the Lord's service because they loved the Lord. If we truly love the Lord, we're going to be active in His service. Maybe this morning someone needs to step forward. You know the call to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Don't hang back like Miraj and say, "Well, I'm just not going to go right now." Make the step forward. Be active. Do you know that the longer we are inactive in good things, the more likely that we're actually going to go out and commit those bad things? Something's got to fill that void. If we're not active in the good things, then we're going to actually find ourselves committing the bad things. And so the admonition this morning is to not be like Miraj, but step forward to the help of the Lord and always be active in the Lord's service. Find something that you need to be more active in. I will find something that I need to be more active in, and we will truly love the Lord in that. If that needs to begin this morning by responding to the gospel or coming back in some way, let your needs be made known as we stand and sing. Why won't you come?